shadow in terms of some of his powers. How he fights crime. So we'll look in on that. Let me get my notes ready. I believe the original air date was the 26th of September, 1937.
What evil lurks in the hearts of men? The shadow knows.
Yes, the shadow had it. The shadow was part of another program, but this was the first time it debuted as its own show, starring Orson Welles as Lamont Cranston in The Shadow and Agnes Moorehead as Margot Lane.
You can't have me in the game. You can't do it. Let me out of here. Let me...
Paul Gordon, listen.
Huh? I can't see anybody. Who's that?
I am the Shadow. Stop. We haven't much time. We must hurry, Gordon. You're in the death house, charged with murder.
Yes, I'm innocent. I'm innocent. But nobody knows it.
Take courage, Gordon. The Shadow knows.
All right, Margot, won't you sit down? I told Adbull to serve our coffee here in the library, unless you'd rather go on the terrace.
No, I prefer it here.
Then let me see you smile. That frown is most unbecoming.
Lamont, give it up.
Give what up, my dear? Drinking coffee?
I'm serious, Lamont Cranston. When I foolishly let you know that... Do you remember what you said? It will be exactly 5 years next week.
But there's still so much to do, Margot.
Well, then let somebody else do it. Don't you realize that you can't keep on like this forever? Someone's certain to identify you, and when that someone does, someone else is certain to kill you.
Perhaps, but until they do... Oh, darling, stop frowning.
I don't mean necessarily to give up your work, Lamont, but this other... Let the shadow just disappear and come out openly. Join the organized forces of law and police.
Won't you realize, Margot, that my entire usefulness to the organized forces of law and police lies in my remaining outside those forces? In remaining always the shadow. Would they approve my methods? Would they believe in my science?
You would make them believe. You could make them approve.
And in doing so, reveal my secrets, my knowledge. Reveal them and eventually let them fall into the hands of organized crime. No, Margot. No one must ever know. No one but you. Why do you think I've devoted countless hours to investigating electrical and chemical phenomena? Why do you think I went to India, to Egypt, to China? What do you think I studied in London, Paris, and Vienna? Except to learn the old mysteries that modern science has not yet rediscovered. The natural magic modern psychology is beginning to understand, and, well, magic that wouldn't seem so natural. I studied and learned for a purpose, my dear.
All right, Lamont, I realize all that. But now the entire underworld has but one objective. To erase the shadow. And to me, that means...
Until they know what the shadow is and who he is, what can they do? Stop and think how many criminals are either dead or in prison because of our activities. Why, even now, tonight, as we sit quietly here, somewhere, an innocent human being may be in desperate trouble. Somewhere, perhaps, there is a problem that can never be solved. Except by the shadow.
What did the doctor say, Grace?
It was good news and bad, too, I'm afraid, dear.
Well, whatever it was, dear, tell me.
Well, he said the baby could be perfectly well again within a year.
Oh, thank God for that. She's had a tough time. Well, what else?
Well, this part isn't so good, Paul. She'll need treatments during all that time. Paul, treatments cost money.
I know. Well, we'll have to manage somehow. You didn't do a very good job marrying me, dear.
Darling.
If I can only get a job. I've got my health and I've got brains. But no one seems to want them.
Oh, they will, dear. They've got to.
You're right about that. We're just about down to rock bottom. I've raised every cent I can on the house and car. There isn't anything left.
You and I are still left, Paul. And we've got to take care of Sally. She's our daughter, Paul, and she's got to have her chance.
She's going to have it. Somehow. Tomorrow I'll start out and take anything I can get.
Darling, perhaps tomorrow things will break for us.
Yes. If only they don't break the wrong way. Excuse me, but are you the boss here?
That's right.
I'm looking for a job.
Nothing doing, buddy.
I'll do anything. Wait on table, wash dishes, anything at all.
I don't need any more help.
Well, how about delivering things? I've got a car.
Nope, I don't deliver nothing. Sorry, I don't need you.
I see. All right. Thanks.
Hey, you.
What? You calling to me?
Yeah, sit down. Have a beer.
No, thanks. I don't drink.
Anyhow, sit down. Meet a friend of mine named Lefty. My name's Red. Look at my hair and you'll know why.
Well, I'm glad to meet you both. Gordon's my name, Paul Gordon. Well, do you want to talk to me about something?
We might be able to help you out. Sounds like you're looking for a job.
You bet I am. I need one. You know anybody that could use me?
Maybe. We don't know you yet.
So far as that goes, I don't know you either.
See, Red, the guy's smart.
Yeah, maybe too smart.
Now, look here, Mr. Gordon. We need a car, and we need somebody to drive it for us. You understand?
Well, I've got a car, and I can drive.
Is it a good car? Has it got speed?
I'll guarantee you up to 80.
It's not bad. It's not bad. Now, listen, kid. How about meeting us tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock?
All right. Where?
Well, let's see. We're going to... I got it. Right in front of the Uptown Bank. We got to go there first to cash a check.
Well, how about $5 a day?
That's so. But you remember, be there at 9 o'clock or you don't get no job.
Don't worry, I'll be there. I'll be there at 8 o'clock.
Hey, buddy, you can't keep this car in front of the bank all day. Can't you see that sign, no parking?
I'm not parking, officer. I'm waiting for a couple of men. I'm working for them.
Oh. Hey, what's that?
It sounds like shots in the bank.
Hey, park area. You got him, Lefty. Here he is with the car.
Come on, you start that bus for me.
Step on it, fella.
Hey, brother, you can't do that.
Gone, I was joke.
Let him have it, Red. Hold him off.
I'll hold him. Wish I'd never have shot that cop. Can't you get no more speed out of this car, fella?
She's doing all she can.
Shoot at the tires, Red. Missed him.
Try the windshield.
Say, let me out of this. Take the car. You don't think I'm in with you?
That's just what we're figuring on. Now, here comes a curb. After you make that stop.
Get ready, Red.
I'm ready. I'm just leaving the evidence.
Put it under the seat cushion.
All right.
Okay. Goodbye, Gordon.
Thanks for the...
Hey, wait, you guys. Don't leave me like this. They'll think I did it. Hey, come on back, will you? Look out.
Up with your hands. Come on, get him up.
All right, officer. I haven't got a gun. I wasn't in this. They made me drive the car.
Yeah, keep your hands up just the same. Go throw the car, Charlie.
Okay, Sarge.
Now, fella, you might as well come clean on this.
I haven't done anything. I tell you, I'm innocent.
Hey, Sarge, I got it. Under the rear seat cushion, a bag full of bills and a gun.
That's the gun that bumped off my buddy Louie. And you say you're innocent.
Yes, I am.
Well, it'll take more than saying so to keep you out of the electric chair.
Guilty of robbery under arms and statutory murder. You have been shown to have had both motive and opportunity. The prosecution has piled up a mass of incontrovertible evidence. And I myself have no doubt of your guilt. Therefore, in accordance with the law, I direct that you be taken from here to the place from whence you came, and that there you be put to death in the manner stated by the law. And may God have mercy on your soul.
Hey, who was that? Where did that laugh?
Who laughed? Bring that person before the cops.
Well, I don't know where he is, Your Honor.
The laugh came from over there, in that corner.
Yes. Yes, Your Honor, but there's no one in that corner. Only a shadow.
Go to sleep, dear. Mother will be right here in the next room.
Oh, God. Please help me. Help me. I don't know what to do.
Yes? Who is it?
My name is Margot Lane. I have a message for you, Mrs. Gordon.
You're not a reporter, are you?
No, I'm a friend. I've come to help.
Oh, then please come in. What is it you want, Miss Lane?
Mrs. Gordon, your husband has a friend who's going to help him. Here's $1,000 in cash.
What?
That's for you and Sally.
$1,000? Who was it sent this to me?
Well, that I can't tell you. But the message with it is not to lose hope.
Well, then, there is hope for Paul, then.
The man who sent this to you never fails.
Who is he?
Well, that I can't tell you.
But, Miss Lane, you know him.
Sometimes I wonder whether I do. I love him. But I wonder whether I know him.
What do you mean?
It's hard to tell whether I really know the man or only his shadow.
Well, Lefty, tonight the fall guy goes to the chair.
That's what he gets for being a sucker.
Yeah, there's not a clue that even points our way.
Not even a print. We had gloves on all the time.
You had yours off for a minute when you were sitting next to him.
Yeah, but I didn't touch the wheel.
Then we ain't left a clue.
You think so?
Who said that? You, Lefty?
No, I thought it was you.
It was I. You cannot see me.
Who are you?
And where are you?
I am here in the room, in the shadow. You have pinned your crime on an innocent man. He shall not suffer, but you will.
I don't know who you are or where you are, but you're bluffing anyway. You got no evidence. We didn't leave a clue.
You did leave a clue. A clue that will send you to the chair.
Where was it? Where was it? You're lying.
Wouldn't you like to believe that? Keep thinking about it. Keep thinking about the clue that you forgot. Margot Lane. Paul Gordon is in the death house and is to die in the chair tonight. I am going to him now. We can still save him. Stand by for orders.
In a few moments.
The Grand
Tower. Okay, this is the Death House Rescue. Original air date was the 26th of September, 1937, starring Orson Welles as Lamont Cranston in The Shadow, and Agnes Moorehead as Margot Lane. Again, I played this on the 8th of November on my first show, just to kind of refresh some of the newer listeners on The Shadow. Now, we're going to get back to it. Thanks.
Have you got any word from the governor?
I'm sorry, Gordon. The governor refuses to take any action.
Thanks. I've got to go. Tonight?
At 11 o'clock.
What time is it now?
Almost 10. Is there anything I can do for you?
No. Thank you, Walt.
Very well. These guards will move you to another cell. I'll be back in a little while.
Ready, Gordon?
Yes, Guard. We're just going to move you to another cell. What does it matter?
The one you're going to is nearer.
Nearer to the chair, is that it? All right. Let's go.
All right, Gordon. Walk to the left.
We'll be right here behind you.
Now lock the door into this preparation chamber, Pete.
Okay. Just a second.
All right. Go on through, Gordon. Watch him, Pete. I'll shut the door.
What's the use of all this trouble? What chance have I got now?
I'm afraid you haven't got much, fella.
Oh, I wouldn't say that.
What do you mean?
Holy smokes. Look behind you.
Where?
There. Oh. Well, too bad. I hated to do that, but there wasn't any other way, and he'll only be out for a while. Now, Gordon, listen to me.
Hey. Where are you? I can't see you anymore. Where have you gone?
Back into the shadow. Now, Gordon, we haven't much time. Listen to me. No crime is perfect. There's always somewhere a loose end. The only reason that all crimes aren't solved is because there's some one fact that someone knows and doesn't tell. And sometimes they don't tell because they don't know that they know.
I told everything I know in court. They wouldn't believe me then.
Because you couldn't prove what you said. We are going after the proof now. You and I.
How?
I'm going to think with your mind.
I don't know what you mean.
Don't try to understand. Just do as I tell you. I want you to concentrate, Gordon. Fix your mind on everything that happened that day. Make mental pictures. I'll see what you see.
I'll try.
No. No. No, Gordon. Stop thinking about your wife and baby.
How did you know I was thinking about
that? I saw it. In your mind. I see in my mind the pictures you create in yours.
Oh. Like television?
Yes. Or like mental telepathy or mind reading, hypnotism, whatever you choose. There's no time to talk. Stop talking. Think.
I will. I will. I'm thinking now.
The picture is getting clearer. That's better. Go on. The restaurant? The bar? Gordon, stop thinking about the electric chair. It blurs the picture.
I'll try. I'll try.
Ah. That's better. The car. In front of the bank. Yes, I see it. The policeman. The crowd. Yes. Wait a minute. The small man with red hair. He was the one you called Red.
Yes.
Yes, I see him. Crooked nose, short, glasses. I know that man. He's Red Sloan.
It's hard to see.
I know. Think for your life. Try hard. Yes, you started the car. The other, Lefty, was in front with you. Lefty. Lefty. See him for me, Gordon. Yes. A scar on his left cheek. Why didn't you mention that in court?
I forgot.
Never mind. Concentrate. Yes. Yes. Lefty couldn't keep you covered with a gun and look back at the same time. What did he do?
He reached up and
twisted the rear view mirror.
Now we've got it. Ah, that's the loose end. That's where his thumbprint will be. Gordon, now I can save you. You've told the truth. You didn't know you knew.
Right, you're a fool for coming in here again. This is the place we picked up that kid that's burning tonight. What'd you want to come in here for?
This is as good a place as any, ain't it?
Hey, telephone for you, Lefty.
Telephone?
Yeah, maybe you never heard of it, but it's a great invention.
But nobody knows I'm here.
Well, somebody knows because they're waiting on the phone for you. It's over there on the wall.
Okay.
Don't be too long, Lefty.
Hello? Hey, what are you laughing at? Who is this?
Lefty, did you ever hear of the shadow?
Yeah. Say, what is this?
Too bad about young Gordon, isn't it, Lefty?
What do you know about that?
The shadow knows.
Who are you? What do you want?
I want justice. Justice for Paul Gordon, Lefty. And I'm going to get it.
But you ain't got no evidence.
No. Perhaps there are some fingerprints, Lefty.
Oh, no. We had gloves on. There couldn't be no fingerprints.
Did you have gloves on all the time?
Yeah, sure. I did.
You're left-handed. Now listen carefully, Lefty. When you were sitting in the front seat of Gordon's car, your gun was in your left hand. Remember?
Say, you ain't nobody. It's just... Say... How do you know?
What did you do with your right hand?
My right hand?
You took off your right glove, didn't you?
No, I didn't. I didn't. Oh, gosh, I'm going nuts.
And you couldn't see the car that was chasing you because the angle of the rearview mirror was adjusted for the driver and you weren't driving, so... Do you remember what you did?
No, I didn't. I didn't take it off.
Are you sure you didn't reach up with your bare right hand and turn that rearview mirror? Are you sure, Lefty?
No, I didn't. I didn't. Maybe I did that.
If the police find that fingerprint, you'll burn, Lefty. Just the way young Gordon's going to burn tonight. Goodbye, Lefty.
Hey, wait a minute. He hung up. No. I won't burn. Hey, Red!
Yeah, it's setting a gab long enough. Say, who was the guy?
Never mind that. Where's that car of Gordon's now?
In his garage. I guess I heard his wife.
Listen.
What?
I got a hunch. There's some fingerprints of mine in that car. Red, we gotta wipe them off of there, or maybe we'll burn in that chair, too.
Come on, let's go.
Commissioner.
I'm sorry, Miss Lane, but I don't see what we can do.
But I tell you, Paul Gordon is innocent. The men who committed the crime are free.
Where did you get this information?
Oh, that I can't tell you.
Miss Lane, Paul Gordon was convicted of murder by due processes of law. Tonight he pays for his crime in the electric chair. If the police listened to every crank who came in here claiming new evidence...
But they can't send an innocent man to the chair. They can't do it.
No, but they can send a guilty man. And according to the evidence, Paul Gordon is guilty.
Commissioner, suppose that afterwards, when it's too late, they discover that Paul Gordon wasn't guilty after all. And suppose I testify that the police refuse to listen.
Well, what do you want me to do? If it's within reason, I'll do that.
I want you to send some men to that garage. I want you to catch the guilty men and see that justice is done.
I'm frightened.
Brace up, Gordon. It won't be long.
Get your chin up, buddy. My turn next. Go along, fella. Good luck. Goodbye, kid.
Where is he? He promised to save me.
Who, son?
I don't know. It was a voice. Just a voice. He said he'd stand by.
Now, steady, old man. Don't lose your nerve, Gordon. Open it up, men.
No, I won't go in there. I didn't do it. I didn't kill him. I didn't, I tell you.
He said he'd stand by. He's warden Wade. Only a few minutes more. Just a few minutes. Don't take me in there yet. Now, wait, please, please. He said, please, Wade.
Easy, Gordon. I'm sorry.
But if I go in that door, I'm gone. It'll be too late then.
Take him in, men.
No, Wade. Oh, where are you? Where's that voice? Where did he go? Please come back.
Warden!
Wait a minute, men. Well, what is it?
Warden, wait. The governor's on the phone. He says stop. Hold up everything.
What'd the governor say?
He wants to talk to you on the phone, Warden. He says don't electrocute this man. They've got the other two guys in Gordon's garage trying to rub out some fingerprints. One of them was shot and died. But before he died, he spilled it all. This fellow didn't do it. It was a frame-up.
Oh, thank God he got me in time. Gordon! Did you hear that?
Yes. Yes, I heard it. That voice said he would. I'm free. You're not going to electrocute me, Warden. You're not.
No, Gordon. The governor saved you.
Governor? No, it wasn't the governor. It was somebody else. Or something else.
But what do you mean, Gordon? Who saved you?
I don't know. It was a voice. Just a voice. I never really saw him. He was only a shadow.
Before another adventure with the Shadow draws to a close, John Barclay, Blue Coal's heating expert, would like to say a few words. Mr. Barclay.
Good evening, friends.
Good evening, Mr. Barclay.
If you're interested in having a more comfortable home this winter, be sure to call your local Blue Coal dealer. For he's more than a fuel dealer. He's an authority on modern home heating. You see, for more than 6 years, I've trained servicemen for these Blue Coal dealers. These men, known as John Barclay servicemen, have added thousands of families like yours to enjoy a greater degree of comfort and to save heating dollars, too. I'm going to read part of a letter typical of many received from satisfied customers using Blue Coal and John Barclay service. I quote in part, "The service rendered by your John Barclay servicemen has been invaluable to me. We were burning a ton of coal a week and having great difficulty in keeping our fire going throughout the night. Your servicemen made me many helpful suggestions regarding the proper way to regulate the furnace and recommended the use of Blue Coal. We not only reduced the amount of fuel consumed to one half, but actually got more heat. Think of that, friends. In this case, a family cut their fuel bill in half simply by following the advice of a John Barclay serviceman whose services were given without charge. Now, you don't have to buy Blue Coal to benefit from John Barclay service. No matter what kind of fuel you're using or from whom you've been buying, if you have any heating problems, consult the Blue Coal dealer. He'll be very glad to place his John Barclay serviceman at your disposal to solve your problems. I thank you.
The story you have just heard is copyrighted by the Shadow Magazine. Real names are never used in these Shadow stories.
The weed of crime bears bitter fruit. Crime does not pay. The Shadow knows.
Okay, that was the Death House Rescue. Original air date, the 26th of September, 1937. I went ahead and played the Blue Coal sponsorship just so you could kind of get an idea of how those shows were sponsored, I guess. Because the next half of our double billing is going to be called Audition Program. And it was looking to pick up a sponsor. After 29 minutes, I figured out that was a little low. This is Arthur in the Grand Hour on 91.5 FM, WMFO, WMFO.org. Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. We'll start with a little PSA for my obligation before we continue on here.
Firearm safety PSA. No matter how you feel about current gun laws, everybody should know the most critical rules about handling any firearm. Rule 0. All guns are always loaded. Rule 1. Never point a gun at anything you are not willing to destroy. Rule 2. Keep your finger off the trigger until your sights are on target and you have made the decision to shoot. Rule 3. Be sure of your target and what is beyond it. A public safety message from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio.
Medford.
James Stewart as the six shooter. The man in the saddle is angular and long-legged. His skin is sun-dyed brown. The gun in his holster is gray steel and rainbow mother of pearl. The handle unmarked. But the gun has killed and the man has killed. People call them both the six shooter. Presenting one of the screen's favorite stars, Mr. James Stewart as the six shooter. Based on the timeless legend of Britt Ponsett, the Texas plainsman who brought single-handed justice to the Western territories.
Figured on going through Clay City. Was an hour out of my way, and I was already a day late to the Jefferson Ranch where I'd signed on for the roundup. But when Scar started limping from a loose shoe, didn't have no choice. We had to head for the nearest blacksmith shop, so we turned north.
Mister, what's the trouble?
The horse losing a shoe.
Well, let's have a look. All right, raise it up, fella. Come on, boy. Split, mister. He needs a new one. Okay, boy.
Can you take care of it?
Oh, sure. Bring him over here.
Hey, what happened to Red, fella used to own this shop?
Went to Nevada chasing silver. I bought him out.
Yeah, you don't look very much like a blacksmith, huh?
Oh, I'm stronger than I look. Heavier, too. What do you think I weigh, mister?
Oh, I don't know.
Go on, take a guess. 120? 30?
Well, no more than that.
You a betting man, mister?
Well, sometimes.
Well, I say I weigh over 130. If I don't, you get the new shoe for nothing. If I do, you pay me double. What do you say?
You got a set of scale?
Don't need no scale. What do you say, mister? Is it a bet?
Don't seem to be no way of proving it.
All you got to do is lift me up. Now, you look like a man who can judge weight. What do you say?
Okay, all right, it's a bet.
All right, mister, just heist me. If you don't think I weigh more than 130, the shoe is free.
I never tried to judge a man's weight before, but all right. There we go.
Well?
Well, I'll be dogged.
I'm packed solid, mister. Real solid.
You're packed tighter than a steer. You must weigh 150 pounds.
Yeah, you see, what did I tell you? 158. The horseshoe's gonna cost you money, mister, but you ain't the only one. Ever since I bought the shop, there ain't been a stranger come through Clay City but what he paid double for his first horseshoe. You ain't sore, mister.
No, that was a fair bet.
Sure it was. I told you I was heavier than I looked. That's what folks call me, Heavy Norton. My real name's George, but everybody calls me Heavy. What's your name, mister?
Ponsett. Britt Ponsett.
Fella they call the six shooter? Well, doggone it. I've heard about you, mister. I've sure heard about you. Oh, would have recognized you if I'd have noticed your gun. Sure is fancy, ain't it?
Hey, do you mind
shown it to me?
No, no. Here, catch.
Real fancy. Just like Sheriff Schofield said. He says he's seen you fire 6 shots with it while Whitey Jackson was getting off his first bullet that time down at Eagle.
Well, the sheriff kind of likes to build up a story.
Oh, he swears it's the truth. Here's your gun, Mr. Ponsett. Thanks.
Sure, sure.
You was mighty quick in getting into Clay City. How'd you hear about it so fast?
How'd you hear about what?
The holdup at the Fargo station last night. Ain't that why you come?
No. I was headed past town. I turned off because Scar got that loose shoe.
Well, now, ain't that a coincidence? Fellow holds up the Fargo office, kills one man, maybe two, gets away with $5,000, and 12 hours later, you ride into town.
Well, they got any idea who did it?
Nope, not a single solitary one, from what I hear. Like I say, the deputy agent was dead when they found him. Other fella, Fred Wilmer, a friend of his, got shot up pretty bad. Ain't done no talking yet. Doc says maybe he never will.
Did Sheriff Schofield take out a posse?
Nope, ain't nobody to go. Most of the men signed up for the Jefferson Roundup. Left town day before yesterday. Hear the Jefferson Ranch paying good money this year.
Yeah. You seen the sheriff this morning?
No, not lately. Might be over to his office.
I think I'll walk down that way while you're fixing up Scar.
Sure, Mr. Ponsett. That's a darn good idea. Sheriff Schofield will be real glad to see you.
Couple of doors this side of the sheriff's office, I saw the Wells Fargo sign nailed up next to a window. Place wasn't locked, so I went inside. One of the sheriffs was upset, and there was some damp stains on the floor. The cast iron safe against the wall was standing wide open, so I kicked it shut. Went out in the back stoop. There was some more blood on the steps, and then just red mud. Right at the edge, I saw the hoof prints. They trailed off along the side of the creek. Whoever made them headed west. The horse had been wearing one shoe different from the other three. A sharp rock must have cut into it sometime or other. Not enough to split it, you understand. Just enough so that the print left a jagged line, like fancy handwriting.
Find something, Britt?
Hmm? Oh, hello, Sheriff. I was heading your way.
Yeah, I just saw Heavy. He told me you was in town. Did you find something?
I don't know. You see these hoof prints?
Yeah.
Well?
Don't mean nothing. Trail gives out a mile or so down the creek at Fork.
Uh-huh. Has Clay City had any other trouble lately yet?
No, not a bit. I guess any town's got to expect to hold up once in a while.
No, I heard it was a little more than that.
Yeah. That's right.
Fred Wilmer able to talk yet?
Afraid not. Doc said he'd let me know first thing he'd come around. Took him out to his ranch.
You been out there to see him since last time?
Wasn't no reason.
Well, it might be a good idea to be there, you know, just in case.
Thought maybe I ought to stick in town.
Oh, I don't think anything more is going to happen here, Ed. I'll get Scar and I'll meet you out at Fred's place. Huh?
I can handle this alone, Britt.
Oh, sure. I just offer to keep you company, Ed.
I'll meet you there.
He's all fixed up, Mr. Ponsett. Tied him up around the side so he'd be in the shade.
Thanks, Heavy. Thank you.
Did you find Sheriff Schofield? I told him you was in town.
Yeah.
You figure out anything?
Not so far.
Oh, you will. Sheriff's a good man. Why, you and him together, you'll get whoever done it.
Well, maybe so. You're the only blacksmith around here, ain't you, Heavy?
Only one for 40 miles.
Uh-huh. You ever see a horse with a shoe that's got one jagged edge, left hind leg?
A lot of shoes got jagged edges, Mr. Ponsett.
Yeah, but I'll show you what I mean. I ain't much of an artist. Now, here, it kind of looks a little like this.
Hmm. Seems to me I seen a shoe like that just the other day. Sure, I remember. Told him he ought to get a new one for it. Ben Schofield, that's who it was, just the other day.
Ben?
The sheriff's kid. You know him, don't you, Mr. Ponsett?
Oh, sure. I ain't seen Ben in a couple of years, though.
Oh, you wouldn't recognize him if you did. He just sort of growed up overnight.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess he has.
Thank you.
ends the first act of The Six Shooter, folks. Hope you're enjoying the show. Before we get on with it, I'd like to tell you a little bit about how I happen to be doing this program. I've been lucky enough to do quite a bit of radio acting before, but I've never had a program of my own. The right thing just didn't seem to come along, at least not until The Six Shooter. You see, I've made several stories of this kind for pictures, that is, honest, legitimate stories of the West, and I hope that this series can offer the same type of enjoyment with the same integrity. We think it's the sort of program the whole family will enjoy, and we think that the character of Britt Ponsett typifies some of the greatness that built America. We'd be pleased if you agreed with us.
And now, Act Two of The Six Shooter, starring Jimmy Stewart.
Sheriff Schofield was sitting on Fred Wilmer's porch swing when I got there. Doc was inside with Fred, so I squatted down on the stoop and waited. About half an hour, the doc came out and told us we could go inside and see Fred. Fred was lying on a cot, breathing hard. White cloth across his chest was stained pink, and his voice sounded like it was full of air.
He was just sitting in the express office talking, Sam and me. Didn't hear the back door open. Must have left it unlocked. Turned around and there he was, holding his gun on us.
Did you get a look at him, Fred?
Handkerchief over his face, Sheriff. I couldn't see nothing. Just the gun. They told Sam to open the safe. There wasn't nothing else he could do.
Sure, sure.
He took the money, walked over to the door.
Yeah.
Looked at us for a minute, and then shot. Didn't have no reason. He hit Sam in the face, and he hit me in the chest. He didn't have no reason.
Take it easy, Fred. Take it easy now.
Just like he enjoyed shooting at us. That's how it was, like he enjoyed it.
Maybe he was scared.
Oh, he wasn't scared, Sheriff. He didn't have no reason. Thought he killed us both. Then he started down the steps. I got my hand on the shotgun and let him have it.
You hit him?
I don't know. Maybe he gave a yell and rode off.
What kind of a fellow was he? Was young, old?
I couldn't see his face. Young fellow, I'd say, though.
How young?
17, 18, full grown.
Be tall, short?
Medium. About the size of your kid, Ed. About that size.
Got enough for you, Ed?
Yeah, that's enough.
You think you'll get him, Brad?
Sure, Fred. Sure. Sure. Come on, Ed.
Didn't have no reason to shoot, no reason at all.
Wasting our time, Brett. He's got a day's head start. He'd be 40 miles from here.
Well, not if he shot up.
Now, you go on if you want to.
Well, you're the sheriff. You've got to make the arrest.
You ain't never been so particular before.
Well, maybe not, but this time I'm particular. You coming?
We don't even know where to start.
Oh, I thought along the creek. That's as good a place as any other.
It's a waste of time, Britt.
Well, we got time to waste. Come on, let's go. We picked up the trail along the creek headed west. It wasn't hard to follow, and every once in a while we'd see a few drops of blood spattered against the shrub brush. About 10 minutes later, we came to a fork where Ed had said the trail gave out. Scar stuck his nose down into the water, and I looked around. Trail didn't give out. Turned south. I nodded in that direction. Ed didn't say a thing. Just followed. At about 5 o'clock, we stopped to eat. Ed built a fire, and I opened up a couple of cans of beans I had in my roll. Oh, you ain't hungry, Ed?
It's early for supper.
Yeah, yeah. Ed, I talked to Heavy before I went out to Fred's place. I asked him who had a horse that would leave a mark like the one we've been following.
So?
And he said Ben did. Your son, Ben. I thought you ought to know that.
A lot of horseshoes leave the same kind of mark.
Fred said it was a young fella.
It wasn't Ben.
Where is he, Ed?
Jefferson's ranch, working on a roundup. He left Clay City day before yesterday. Couldn't be Ben. There's a lot of wild youngsters in these parts, but Ben's a good boy. Couldn't be him.
You sure?
That mark don't mean nothing. Plenty of horseshoes leave the same kind of mark. You know that, Britt.
You had enough to eat?
Yeah.
Come on, let's go. Real bright, but enough so you could follow the trail. For about 3 miles, there wasn't no blood. He must have wrapped something around the wound. Wrapped it real tight. And then we found the bandage. A piece of shirt tail sopped through. For the next mile, he'd been bleeding a lot, worse than ever. He was hit pretty bad.
Looks like it.
He couldn't have gone much further because I... Oh, hold it, Scar. Ed.
Yeah.
Hold on. Over there in the gully, that cabin.
Yeah.
Whose is it?
Used to belong to Jake Levant. Died a couple of years ago. Ain't nobody living there now.
There's somebody living there.
Huh?
Out in back. There's a pony. Better go ahead on foot.
Britt?
Yeah?
We're going to take him alive, ain't we?
If we can.
We've got to take him alive, Britt.
It's Ben.
I don't know, Britt. Not for sure.
It could be Ben?
It could be.
Where have you been the last couple of days?
I don't know that neither. Had an argument with him 2 nights ago. He needed some money. He'd been playing poker and lost a lot.
$5,000's a lot.
I wouldn't give him money. Got mad, said he'd get it, himself. And I hit him. Hard across the face. I hit him twice. He started to hit me back. Then he walked out of the house. I ain't seen him since. I wish he had hit me back.
Now, we gotta get across that clearing, Ed. Over to that clump of trees.
He may see us.
Yeah, we'll have to take that chance. You ready?
Yeah.
All right?
Sure.
We'll stay in these trees for a couple of minutes.
Okay.
And then we'll rush him. Ain't gonna be easy to take him, Ed. Now that he's spotted us.
You ain't gonna kill him, Britt.
I ain't gonna let him kill me.
It ain't his fault, Britt. It's mine.
You know that ain't so.
No, it's the truth. It's my fault.
You didn't raise him to be a killer, Ed.
Maybe I did, Britt. I was the sheriff, seeing that everybody kept close to the line, seeing that everybody lived honest, especially Ben. I broke him, Britt. Broke him like you break a wild horse. I tried to take all the fight out of him fast. You know what happens when you do that to a horse? He gets tame, but the fight's still there, and someday he turns wild again.
I'll rush him alone, Ed.
No. Stay here, Britt.
Well, Sam Norton's dead. Maybe Fred Miller, too.
Killing Ben won't bring him back. He's my son, Britt, my only son. You don't have no kids. You don't know.
I'm sorry, Ed.
No, we're going back to town.
Not without him.
We're going back. Now, you can outdraw me, Britt, but I'll still have time to get a shot off.
I'll try to get him alive, Ed. I'll try.
No, don't turn your back on me, Britt. Don't be a fool. Don't make me do it, Britt.
I wasn't being brave. I knew he wouldn't shoot. A man like Ed Schofield just don't change overnight. You can figure a man like Ed. That's what I thought, anyway. But I hadn't figured what would happen next. I haven't figured on him running out into the clearing, standing there in the moonlight, gray against the black sky.
Ben! It's me, Ben, your dad! Can you hear me, Ben? Britt Thompson after you, throw out your gun, Ben. Red Thompson's coming. Now listen to me, Ben. It's your death.
I saw him go down real slow, like his legs had buckled under him. I couldn't tell how bad he'd been hit. He rolled down a gully out of range, and I crawled forward. I pushed myself past a couple of rocks and headed toward the back door. The kid was in the kitchen. I couldn't see him, but I could hear him moving around, going from window to window, looking out, waiting for me. I slid past another rock. I could run for the door or wait. The kid made up my mind for me. I slipped down fast, and the bullets nicked the rocks. The kid had good hearing. He knew I was right there. I took up my gun and waited. I knew he'd get nervous first. Young fellas always do. I wasn't so young. I could wait. It wasn't more than 5 minutes before the door started opening. His pony knew I was coming, too. He started for the horse. I aimed at his leg. For a second, he stopped moving and just hung in midair like a hawk. Then he sprawled forward out of sight behind a log. I raised up a little and hunched myself along the side of the cabin. Everything was quiet now. Even his pony. The moon went behind a thick cloud, and I came around the corner of the cabin. Suddenly, the moon came out again, just in time for me to see his .45, just in time to see him coming up over the top of the log. His revolver slipped out of his fingers, and I saw him trying to reach for it again. He couldn't make it. I stood up and walked over to the log. The kid was lying face down, gasping for breath, a little short gasps. He pulled himself up onto the flat of his hands, and then he passed out. I turned him over with my foot, and I looked at his face. Ed? Ed?
Over here.
Where'd he get you?
In the shoulder. I'm gonna be all right. Britt, is he? Did you have to?
He ain't dead.
Thanks. I guess he didn't hear me calling to him. He didn't know who I was.
Ed.
What?
Ed, it ain't Ben.
What?
It ain't Ben, Ed.
You sure, Britt?
Yeah, this kid's got red hair.
There ain't no reason to lie to me, Britt. I ain't shot up bad.
I ain't lying. I knew it wasn't Ben while I was going up after him. I knew it.
What are you talking about?
Hey, just come to me. A man don't change overnight. Neither does a boy.
Well, if it ain't Ben...
Lots of tough kids in these parts. You said so yourself.
Where do you suppose Ben is?
Where you said, Jefferson Ranch, working in the roundup. They pay good. No. A boy don't change overnight, Ed. You able to ride back to town?
Yeah, sure. I may have to take it a little slow.
I'll get the kid.
Britt.
Yeah?
You know something, Britt? I couldn't believe it was Ben neither. Not when he shot me. I just couldn't believe it. You know that, Britt.
I know it, Ed. I know it. Was your first meeting with Britt Ponset. I hope you'd like to meet him again every week. And I also hope you'll try our product. It's something I use myself, and it's never let me down. I don't think it'd let you down either. Maybe I'm not much of a salesman, but this product I don't think needs a lot of selling. As far as I'm concerned, it sells itself. So, I'd appreciate it if you'd buy it this week and give it a try. Let me know how you like it. So long, folks. We'll be seeing.
Audition program starring James Stewart as the six shooter and Britt Ponsett, as he said. I never called it Ponsett, it's Britt Ponsett. Original air date was the 15th of July, 1953. The properly titled audition program, they really had no sponsor. They were seeking it. That's why Britt is asking you to try that product that he never names. Give it a shot this week. So for all you looking for something to do, go find some product to try it this week. This includes the double billing. That was the first six shooter. Previously, I played Death House Rescue, which was the first actual episode of The Shadow, aside from the Detective Magazine series. So, it's the 13th of June, folks, and you're listening to Arthur on the Grand Hour. Matt in the Whirlpool will be up next here on 91.5 FM, Tufts Freeform Radio. I'm going to play out a little record I found here in the library, Complete Studies for Player Piano. The music of Conlon Nancarro. Play this out until Matt takes over here in about 4 minutes. This just sounds like pinball machines. Thanks. Thanks for listening, folks. We'll be right back.